The Supreme Court hearing the 2012 election petition has adjourned to the 14th of this month. This was after counsel for the petitioners and respondents had made oral submissions to the 9-member panel of judges. First to make his presentation was counsel for the first respondent, Tony Letha. Meanwhile, counsel for President Mahama was first to present his oral address at today's sitting. Mr. Tony Letha began by establishing an earlier admission by the NPP campaign manager, Boakye Jakon, that the 2012 elections were free and fair, and brought to question why the NPP later changed its mind when figures showed they were losing. Mr. Letha asked the judges to be guided by the fundamental right to vote as enshrined in the Constitution and ignore calls by petitioners to divert the earlier declaration by the EC in their favor.
Now, my lord, the nature of the allegations are really quite instructive in view of the subsequent petition that was brought to this court, because they differed in substantial measure from the basis of the earlier allegation made by the NPP that votes had been rigged, and fraudulently so, with conspiracy between EC and the president for the benefit of the presidency. Later the same day, NPP met under the auspices of Peace Council, the Electoral Commission. The Electoral Commission listened to them, examined pink sheets they brought, and came to the firm conclusion that the basis upon which they were asking Electoral Commission to suspend the declaration of the results of the presidential election were unfounded. And that same evening, Dr. Farijan proceeded to declare the results of the election. By Dr. Baumia's own admission, no polling agent was questioned about what they claimed they had found on the face of those pink sheets. In fact, it would appear that they just poured over paper and came out with novel propositions like duplicate serial numbers, in respect of which they want over 2 million votes of Ghanaians to be annulled. Now, it would have, based on that, the initial petition named about 4,000 plus polling stations, but Dr. Baumia's mandate appeared not to have ended there. Subsequently, it was amended, and same death-bound exercise unearthed over 11,000, as they claim, polling stations. In proof of their case in this court, the petitioners waved pink sheets at everybody. According to them, the evidence is on the face of the pink sheets. And coupled with Dr. Baumia's mantra, "You and I were not there," the petitioners sought to limit discussion about this serious exercise to the face of the pink sheets. But he admitted himself during cross-examination that he didn't ask polling station agents about the figures, about the what he claimed discrepancies on the face of the pink sheets. But then, my lord, you begin to ask very, very simple questions indeed. Were these polling agents not appointed as agents of the first petitioner in this election? Dr. Baumia and the first petitioner must have spent resources training these polling agents to protect their interests at the polling station level. They were actually trained by Electoral Commission as well. The constitutional right to vote is fundamental, it's inalienable, it's a God-given right. When somebody comes before your lordship and says that I won election, not by vote cast, but seeking to annul votes, your lordship should scrutinize it. And we say that no case has been made for your lordship to disturb the status quo. President Mao won the election, won it fair and square. I respectfully ask your lordships to declare accordingly.
Meanwhile, counsel for the Electoral Commission, Kwasi Aiden, sought to establish the credibility of the country's electoral process. He said in Category 6, as provided by the petitioners, they failed to establish links between the alleged irregularities they sought to prove. Mr. Aiden therefore prayed the justices to ignore the plea by the petitioners as they failed to prove their case and have not justified the annulment of a single vote.
It was a question of adding the votes in that constituency, and it had to be a collation or addition. It had to be done 9 times, and by the time it was 80 votes, if out of 26,002 polling stations, only one. This is an excellent record that I would urge your lordships to take fully into account. My lord, we would refer also to the written address filed by the petitioners on page 122 under the heading credibility of the chairman of the Electoral Commission. My Lord, paragraph B at the end of that page, page 122, he gave a spurious explanation of the existence of C3 in the pink sheet. His explanation that the electoral officials forgot to bring Form 1C to the polling station and therefore could not capture the class of voters intended to be entered in question C3, palpably false. In the second respondent's own training manual, tendered and marked exhibit EC2, the list of items required at the polling station did not include Form 1C, so it had never been in the contemplation of the second respondent. A further excuse by Dr. Farajan that presiding officers were instructed to enter 0 in the C3 column also proved to be another white lie, as C3 column was filled throughout the country. My Lord, this is a misrepresentation of the evidence of Dr. Farajan. My Lord, we should be able to rely on the veracity of statements in written addresses, to say the least. We would respectfully submit that the petitioners have failed to prove their case before your lordships. Not one single vote ought to be annulled. They have not justified the annulment of a single vote under any of the categories that they have cited. We would rely, of course, on our written submission and the few matters that we have brought your lordship's attention in this oral address.
To the counsel for the NDC Chachuchikata, the inconsistencies and figures of alleged irregularities at polling stations cannot be a basis for the justices to accept the plea of the petitioners. He said statements made in the affidavits of the petitioners contradict themselves and cited examples.
My Lord, the most outrageous claim of the petitioners is in respect of serial numbers. As counsel for the second respondent has expressed it, it is the weakest link in an already weak chain. And my lords, that claim really is not borne out by any legislation, not borne out by any constitutional formulation. But my lords will notice that that claim is the basis on which over 3 million votes are being sought to be annulled. It is a claim that Dr. Baumier admitted he didn't know of the law under any law under which it was being made. And my lords, that claim is actually not just the weakest link, but it also appears to be the Achilles heel of this whole petition. Because my lord, it is in that category of the claim that we find this incredible attempt to bring up more and more polling stations ending up in the confusion of exhibits that we have indicated previously. Because as they threw in more and more exhibits in a jumble, they could not even tell that the exhibits were contradicting each other. They could not tell that the exhibits were not even being supplied according to the rules of the court. And they ended up, my lords, with those almost 4,000 that are in our appendices, 1 and 1A, which your lordship simply cannot have any use for. My lords, it is also pertinent to indicate that the petitioners made it quite clear, especially in Dr. Baumia's evidence, that their whole investigation was in regard to 24,000 polling stations. Not the 26,002 polling stations in this country. Their whole investigation was tied to 24,000. Respectfully, my lords, you cannot be asked to make a declaration such as they seek based on evidence related to 24,000 polling stations, not 26,002. Especially, my lords, when what they have eventually brought reflects selectively what they find favorable to them. Even if your lordships were to decide, for instance, that blank means zero on pink sheet, your lordships will respectfully then have to have the whole universe of 26,000 pink sheets inspected in order to determine wherever blank is, blank means zero. If that was to be your lordship's decision, that would be the nature of what would have to happen. So, respectfully, my lords,
We believe that this petition has been shown to be factually empty in terms of not having any supportable evidence being produced. It has been shown to be legally pathetic because the claims that are being made have no legal standing whatsoever, especially this claim about serial numbers. The petition has also been shown to be poor in arithmetic because you cannot have the same numbers when you are reducing polling stations, and certainly extremely poor in logic, and we might add deficient in statistics as well.
Lead counsel for the petitioners, Philip Addison, said the right to vote is supported by statutes in the Constitution and the vote must be valid. He prayed the court to annul all invalid votes and declare Nana Akufo-Addo as a winner in the 2012 presidential elections.
A citizen desirous of voting must first register. The status and right to vote are governed by statute. In Article 63.3, it refers to valid votes. Now, valid votes connotes votes that are devoid of infractions of the existing law. A non-registered citizen cannot go to the polling station to vote on grounds that he is over 18 and of sound mind and a Ghanaian. The reference to valid votes means that votes can be invalid. And when votes are invalid, they can be properly annulled. And that is the power that is even established in the second respondent, to annul invalid votes. And indeed, in instances, evidence of which is before this court, results of certain polling stations were annulled. None of the respondents have also relied heavily on the Canadian case of Ted Opeeds and Boris. It is a case that really is not in their favor. And if your lordships come to look at it, you will see that it is a case that is more in favor of the petitioners. And in Canada, there is no fingerprint verification as there is in Ghana here. And in that court said that that was a more effective way of identifying voters. In conclusion, my lords, this honorable court is being asked to perform a judicial function that no court has so far been able to do in Africa, to declare a presidential election outcome invalid and another candidate as validly elected. In Kenya, Zambia, Uganda, Nigeria, and Sierra Leone, presidential election petitions have failed in a few instances because of technicalities, and in most cases because of lack of numbers necessary to affect the outcome. Thus, even though the alleged infractions may be found, the issue of the infractions having a material, substantial effect on the outcome has usually served as the unsurpassable bogey for most petitioners. But this has been arguably so in similar petitions elsewhere, because so often the gap between the winning candidate and the others was so wide. For example, in Buhari and Obasanjo, the gap was over 10 million votes. And even though there was an annulment of over 1.36 million votes from the home state of Obasanjo, there was still not enough to have a material effect on the election. In this instance, the petitioners have been able to demonstrate by the show of a preponderance of evidence of invalid votes which go to affect the declared results. It has been argued that an election such as that of the president of the country involves a lot of preparations by many actors and is costly, and therefore some violation of the law need not be treated as fatal. Therefore, a repeat of such an election or a change of government so soon thereafter is bound to cost the country more resources. As against these possible arguments, there are considerations of virtues of a free and fair democratic election. If the principles enshrined in our laws, especially the Constitution, are properly observed during a free and fair democratic election, losing candidates and their supporters will surely be satisfied and therefore allow the country to develop peacefully. But if a presidential election is won through fraud, cheating, or through the flouting of the law and the Constitution, dissatisfied candidates and their followers may create instability and disaffection among the population. Allowing candidates license to cheat even as little as cannot affect results, will render the election exercise a farce or frivolous. Indeed, tolerating cheating and fraud in elections can imply that holding elections itself is not desirable or necessary. Yet proper elections should give legitimacy to winners. As Lord Mansfield said long ago in the case of Alvin Wilkes, the Constitution does not allow persons to sleep.
You heard lead counsel for the petitioners, Philip Addison.